I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto.
Good evening, Vashon Island. I am Megan Hastings, and this is the Catch and Jammer Follies, a travel story show. And today I'm going to tell a very personal story that happened to my family this past summer. It was in July, the end of July, so the height of summer. And I got a phone call from this woman, a friend of my sister's. My sister Deirdre lives in Chicago. And she said, are you by yourself? And I said, I can be. So I go into the bar area where it was quiet, and I pull the curtains shut. And I sit down, and she recounts to me a story of taking my sister to the O'Hare Airport in the middle of the night. I need to express that my sister is someone who suffers from bipolar. Maybe it's even more than that at this point. I don't know. She doesn't really give me a straight answer. So this friend of ours, mutual friend, says that she has been gone. She dropped her off at the airport about 36 hours previous to her tracking down my telephone number. So at this point, she's been missing for a very long time in terms of missing people. So I ask her to give me all the information. What was she wearing, et cetera, et cetera. I call the police in Chicago. To no avail. Nobody wants to help me. It's back and forth, back and forth. It was so uncomfortably horrible. I thought to myself, I'm never going to see her again. I don't know where she went. One sergeant had the audacity to say, you know, she probably just got tired with her life and she packed up and maybe she's in Ireland starting a new thing over there. And I said, no, I've just told you that she suffers from mental illness, and that is not what's happening. I got a big runaround. The following day, I got on a flight to Chicago on a red-eye flight. And just as the plane was going to take off, my phone rings and it says Turkey. So I pick up, and this woman from the American consulate in Turkey, in Istanbul, says to me that they've apprehended my sister at the Istanbul airport, and that she had been acting crazy, and that she tried to kill herself. And now she was in a female mental institution hospital outside of the city. I can't even believe what I'm hearing. I completely lost for any words, for anything. This is something that was so bizarre that I couldn't even comprehend it, that she had just taken off in the middle of the night. The flight was at like 10 a.m. in a complete manic state with one bag and a bunch of other stuff, and then just sat there for, you know, X amount of hours, 9 hours, let's just say, and then tried to kill herself at the airport. So I arrived the following day, and I'm talking then via a translator, of course, to the doctor with this woman from the consulate. And I don't know anything aside from just that. And then Deirdre, my sister, gets on the phone and she immediately starts crying. She was like, I thought you were dead. I thought that you got killed. All these voices in her head said that I had gotten killed, and she's hysterical, but she knows that it's me. And I said, I'm in Chicago. I said, I'll come get you. I don't know, you know, what the doctors have to say yet. I'm only allowed to talk to her for 5 minutes out of the day. So every day, I call this hospital. And thankfully, there's a woman here on Vashon who's Turkish and who helped me tremendously through the situation, calling the embassy, calling the hospital, talking to the doctors, getting all the information that I needed. And the doctors, they wanted to keep her for a while. She ended up staying there for, I think, in total 3 weeks. Not in complete isolation. She was in a room by herself, and she said, as she put it, they kick you out of this room at like 6 o'clock in the morning, and then you just have to sit there all day and do nothing. She was like, I was bored to tears every day. But the people were so nice to her, and she wasn't allowed to have a phone. She wasn't allowed to have a toothbrush for the first week. She wasn't allowed to have anything at all. But other people had smartphones, and they could do smartphone translation so that she could at least have some kind of conversation with people. The doctor spoke, you know, basic English, nothing too detailed. And then there came a day, and I said, you know, every day she would beg me, please come. And I would say, I'm sorry, they're not going to release you. They're not ready to release you. And finally, we did end up getting tickets, my husband, Adam, and I. And we flew to Turkey. And again, with the help of so many gracious people, a friend of a friend had somebody who lives in Istanbul. He got called, he came and picked us up at the airport. I mean, we were treated with such amazing kindness by every person that we met. My husband, Adam, who's here. Hi, Adam.
Well, hello, Megan. It's great to be back on the show on this rainy November afternoon.
As I always say on the shows that he's on with me, that he's my favorite writer.
Oh, gosh.
And so he wrote an excerpt from our time there, and then we'll talk a little bit more in detail after his story. Adam, are you feeling ready? I feel like I sort of gave a little precursor.
No, I know you gave a wonderful precursor to an unexpected trip that took place in the middle of the summer. I mean, I think if I were to add anything, it would be that this year was a wonderful year for celebrations, and Snapdragon, the cafe that we run, certainly had no end of celebratory wedding and engagement and rehearsal dinners, and to have such an event like this take place back to back between large event weddings was really wild and exhausting, but we pulled it off, and we did, but I
just barely.
Yeah, but
just
I do barely. I did find a moment to write a couple of things.
I don't even
down.
Remember when did you write this down?
Well, when everybody's asleep, like I always do, except the cats, right?
I will say this: we ended up staying at a hotel is called the And Hotel. That this guy in Istanbul recommended. And on the top of this hotel, there is a cafe where you also have like your bed and breakfast, or they have breakfast attached to it. But it's on like, I want to say like the 9th floor, right, Adam? It's like the 9th floor.
The restaurant?
Yeah.
I think it's the 10th floor, the top floor.
The top floor.
It's a small but big place.
And that was the respite of this trip, was sitting up on top of this hotel overlooking and having lots of white wine with Adam and my sister, and trying to make sure that she's feeling better and that medicine is right. And yeah, I'm going to let Adam take it away.
Okay, great. Okay. So this is a sort of a little journal entry, sort of reads in a couple of parts from a couple of days. but I'll begin. I'm excited to read it, to share it. Tuesday morning, Istanbul, Turkey, August 8th, 2022. I wake to seabirds call from out the open windows of her room at the And Hotel, here in the old quarter, Istanbul. The sky fair blue, still early. The clouds rise to pink somewhere out over the bay. The city, still asleep at 5:17 a.m., the cross breeze is strong from the large wooden-paned windows that shelter this corner room. A cool wind covers us as we sleep away our 12-hour flight from Seattle and the general rigors that come with traveling somewhere new and for the first time. The Hotel And is old, comfortably sole. So, and sits easy between other red tile-roofed buildings of the same age, close walking distance to the larger mosque, Hagia Sophia, which peaks out now above the patio roofline of an adjoining restaurant, grand and silent in gray stone. The word or term minarets comes to mind, and I am instantly reminded of art history classes some 30-odd years ago at Cornish, in the darkened library-like classrooms and leaded windows of the North Building, the old Lakeside Boys' School, adjacent St. Mark's Cathedral. Hagia Sophia is an imposing structure, and like St. Mark's, feels earnestly resolute in its spiritual impact on the city. Morning doves call now, and a pallet of bottled water has arrived via box truck to the front of the hotel, the small cobblestone alleyway that fronts the entrance. It is important to note that Istanbul is a city awakened daily by the long and hauntingly enchanted calls, morning calls, of the mosques themselves. The words echo through the windows and further off continue for a few minutes longer from other mosques, the blue mosques and others I still don't have names for. Wednesday morning, August 10th. I am greeted this morning, apprehensively, by a thin female tabby and her larger suitor, a white and charcoal-spotted fellow who casually assesses whether I may have the odd fish scrap or errant piece of chicken before making their respective ways into the dense hedge adjacent the downstairs entrance patio here at the end. Young men who work here smoke early morning cigarettes in the still air, and gently the day begins here at the hotel. Again, Istanbul is a fair city, and its people kind and gently present in a way I am unaccustomed to in the Western Empire, and more certainly at home in America, Western Europe, and more certainly at home in America. Megan wakes me from my bed in the hotel room on the hotel room floor to hear the morning call to prayer, and for a morning kiss by the open window, here again in the old quarter. The morning light is again soft pink in the sky, and below us the dark green of sleeping pines and palms and gardens that wind intertwined with alleyways and narrow streets that make up this part of the city. Thus far, our journey here to Turkey has been a successful one, most of yesterday being spent in laborious and confusing appointments at a large state-run psychiatric ward some distance outside of the city. Nearly 3 weeks ago, Megan's sister Deirdre was overcome with anxiety and interior voices that she could not negotiate herself. In the middle of the night, she went to the large O'Hare Airport in Chicago and boarded an early morning flight to Istanbul, the city I'm writing this from. She did not escape the voices, and in fact had tried unsuccessfully to hurt herself in the airport once she landed in Turkey. Apprehended by authorities, she was placed in care in a large facility, the hospital we visited yesterday. With rest and a balance of medication, she is feeling much better. The staff and doctors released her, after much deliberation, into Megan's and my care as of late afternoon yesterday. We are so lucky, for so many reasons. Making our way back to the hotel is tedious, hot, though buoyant, for the treasure of her company, and knowing that she is safe with us. Megan, exhausted, falls asleep in the taxi, as do I, and we are eventually delivered to the edge of a large pedestrian thoroughfare that we recognize as being within walking distance to our hotel, as well as the large population of semi-feral felines that reside, flourish, within the myriad restaurants, patios, souvenir and hookah shops, and quiet mosques that comprise much of this neighborhood, the Golden Horn. Repeated call of morning dove, and gulls good morning, morning. Pink flowers and thick hedge of blooming jasmine again compete with feline urine for the strongest scent here at the cobblestone entrance to the hotel. In this early morning hour, old men water fancy terracotta pots, overflowing with colorful geraniums, and sprinkler systems make sure that what grass there is will still be green well into September. Istanbul. It's a paradox, or is it? Thousands of years of almost constant flux and continuity within change has left behind a warm feeling to the first-time visitor. Knowing, to be sure, and yet deservedly unaffected by the follies of contemporary Western culture. Truly, the city is both east and west, and there is something magical about this cultural arrangement that is hard to place here in words. A yellow brick road, a nonchalant Wizard of Oz-like feeling, indeterminate to contemporary fashion and values and the restraints such things impose. All of it, and then at once, as cosmopolitan as it is ancient. The people here, young as well as old, are happy. One hears it in their voices, their manner, and certainly in the easy smiles and laughter that I've come to understand as Istanbul. As I write these last words, a calico cat has climbed up through the jasmine hedge and made her way to the patio glass roof above me. I imagine she is safely home now until evening prowls and dinner guests call her back alongside her friends and feline comrades. This is really my kind of place, Turkey, Istanbul. Thank you.
Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, now Constantinople, been a long time gone. Constantinople, now it's Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul, now Constantinople, so if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say.
People just liked it better that way.
So take me back to Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Istanbul.
Istanbul.
I would like to say that my sister is doing a lot better, and she's home safely. But she did come here for a couple of weeks.
That's right, she did.
Yeah.
Right afterwards, and that was a
and stayed with us.
Well, and helped us out in the last of the weddings, and
yeah,
and had some grounding times that sometimes may be some of the best on Vashon Island. You know.
Yeah.
I know.
And so, good thoughts for her mental stability.
Absolutely.
And our dream is to go back one day under different circumstances, of course, and really see the city and see the beautiful mosques. We did go in a couple of them. They were incredible.
They were.
Yeah.
I think I personally hope to go back and, I'd like to say adopt all of the cats, but they're doing such a good job there living that I guess they don't want to leave. But I want to go back and pet the cats. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do.
The guy that actually picked us up, his name is Himley.
Yeah.
Great, great fellow. And his wife is someone who captures cats and gets them fixed and puts them back out.
Neuter and release.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Cool. But we did befriend many of these cats.
Yeah.
Friends.
I know, I sure did in the morning. Yeah, absolutely.
We did an evening over some beautiful food. The food is amazing, incredible.
It is. As colorful as it is delicious.
Yes. Even in the morning, they have just such a beautiful spread of like all these dried fruits and different cheeses and
bread.
Incredible breads and all these different.
It's like you're at some crazy festival color and yeah.
Oh, it's just amazing.
I never have seen magenta colored olives before, but boy, they're delicious. And why don't they have them here?
I don't know.
I don't know. How did they get that way? Are they colored with beet juice? Or
we
I don't
need
know
to import
what?
Them.
Yeah.
There was, when Adam talks about the call to prayer, there was the afternoon that we came back from the hospital and we were in this hotel. Adam was gracious enough to sleep on the floor because I didn't want her to have a separate room from us.
I like the floor. So it reminds me of college.
Yeah, he's fine with it. So my sister and I had the bed and he slept on the floor and it was so hot. You can imagine at the beginning of August. Literally, you just are sweating just walking 2 feet. And so we go back to the hotel and the sky was kind of like this pinky magenta color. And we were up high and it was so hot, but yet there was a wind that came into this room that was just like, it really did feel incredible. And then there's this call to prayer. And I just remember laying there and hearing it and looking at the sky. And it was truly a magical moment.
It's incredible. And that wind, I mean, there's unusual or not unusual because of, you know, someone that doesn't necessarily know the geography, but the Bosphorus Strait and the Sea of Marmara, as well as there's the Black Sea and other places, things coming from angles that I'm not familiar with, and yet all of it feels amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I look forward to going back to it.
There's a good moon that rises above Istanbul, let me tell you. And it's worth a visit. So thank you for letting me come on this travel show and share a story.
Thank you for coming with me to Turkey.
On a Sunday and coming back on a Wednesday. Yes, that was good.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Bonkers.
Talk about crazy. That was Adam and I, the way that we felt. Anyway, Voice of Vashon, KVSH 101.9. Thank you so much, Vashon, for coming and listening to our travel stories, and I hope that you come back.
I've been everywhere.